Nemo Sinis Nemon. From A Taste of Ismenian Water. By M.J. Bradley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 27. A Clockwork Lemon. Fleur's silver hair fluttered over her lips with each soft, steady breath. Her fingers pulled her silver blanket up around her neck, clutching it tight to her chin.
No, she murmured. Mama, no.
It's the morning, mon rêve. Harry sat on the edge of the bed and kissed her cheek. Her eyes fluttered open and she nestled into his side, tucking her head into his lap.
I was having a very weird dream.
Oh?
Oui, Fleur scowled, her eyes dark as midnight. You said I had gotten too fat, and they thought the cake in the house to stop me getting any fatter.
Sounds like a terrible nightmare, Harry murmured, but Gabby would never let me.
She helped.
Fleur dragged herself up, leaning on his shoulder and wrapping a white feathered arm around her belly.
The little harpy. I should eat all her eclairs.
Just a dream, Orange. He slid an arm around her shoulders and gave her a squeeze. Gabby and I could never eat all the cake before you managed to eat at least some. I've seen how much cake is stacked in the cupboards of the kitchen. It would take us days.
What time is it?
Fleur muttered, pulling her wand out from beneath her pillow. Harry squinted at the floating silver cogs.
2 hours past 50 seconds, and the year appears to be 1753.
A flash of white light shattered the silver clock. Harry winced.
You really didn't enjoy that dream, huh?
Fleur stared at the pieces of the clock and at her wand, her hands trembling.
I broke it.
Tears clotted on her lashes.
Why did I break it? What is wrong with me?
It's okay. He held her close and rocked her back and forth against him. We can fix it.
No.
She dropped her wand and buried her face in his chest, smearing hot tears into his collarbone.
It is broken. It's too late.
Harry slipped his wand out of his sleeve and pulled the pieces of the clock back together, watching the silver cogs spin around one another on the corner of her desk.
Well, I fixed it. I said no,
Fleur hissed, shoving his arm away.
You don't even like it.
You did say no. He held her tight until she stopped pushing and pressed a kiss to the tip of her nose.
But you were being silly, so I ignored you.
You don't like it, she muttered, stiff-shouldered. It's very pretty. Harry sighed and ran his fingers through her hair until she relaxed.
I'm only teasing, silly bird wife.
The door creaked open and Gabby poked her head in.
Ça va?
Bien,
he said, tugging the silver blanket up around Fleur's shoulders.
Go away, Gabrielle,
she muttered.
Cake thief.
Gabby blinked and shot Harry a long look.
Cake thief?
Fleur dreamt you helped me eat all the cake in the house because I thought she looked too fat.
Harry hid a smile. She's holding a grudge.
Grumpy birdie Fleur,
Gabby snickered.
Everyone is angry this morning. Papa is still ranting downstairs. Maman abandoned him and went to work.
What's happened? Harry asked. Work or something here?
Amelia Bones, I think.
Gabby padded in and shut the door.
She said some more fairly inflammatory stuff. Papa was annoyed with how elegant Britain is being.
I think most of the ICW are pretty sick of that, Harry quipped. How's Ginny Weasley's holiday in the Caribbean going?
Gabby giggled, skipping across the room to drop onto the bed beside Harry and crossing her legs. They keep putting more serious wards up over the magical communities they promised to protect. I don't think any British Aurors have been seen actually fighting.
Well, that's good. Fleur stuck her head past Harry's shoulder and glared at her sister.
Don't even think about getting any closer, Happy.
Gabby grinned.
Not even a little bit closer, Fleur. Harry looks very warm. I could just snuggle right into his lap.
Harry caught Fleur's hand halfway to her wand. Probably not the best moment to wind your sister up, Gabby. We already nearly lost a clock, and I can't fix you as easily as I could fix the clock.
She's having a really birdie day today, is she?
Gabby sighed.
I'll be good, mon coeur.
Fleur's hand twitched toward her wand.
Stop calling Harry that, Gabrielle.
Very birdie, Harry said, pulling Fleur a little closer and kissing her on the temple. But still very cute. He shot Gabby a pointed look. You were saying something about the Caribbean.
I spoke to Greece yesterday, she replied. French protectorates are asking for wards like the British ones have, but someone got herself pregnant.
So if nobody on official descent and sending a bunch of oros is probably a bad idea.
You?
I'm much better at getting into walls than I am at putting them up,
Cappy said. For example, I can get through any and all of Fleur's walls really easily.
We've noticed, Harry quipped.
No, you haven't, Cappy retorted. You're always very preoccupied.
A little heat crept onto his face. I really wish I didn't know you did that.
There, there.
Cappy patted him in the cheek. It's a compliment, really.
Fleur growled into Harry's shoulder. Get your own husband, Hoppy.
I have, Cappy beamed. I have yours.
The Caribbean?
Harry poked her in the side with one finger. Was that it?
No.
Cappy flopped back onto the bed. Every time the British Aurors walled another community, more of the fighting ends up happening on the home soil of the little nations the U.S. is supporting. By all accounts, a lot of damage is happening to very old and precious sites.
All the more reason not to go out there, he said. No sense of taking risks you don't need to.
You're telling me not to take risks, Fleur whispered, when you're always so reckless.
Not anymore, he murmured in her ear. I don't take any risks. I might come back again, but if it takes another year, I'll miss our baby.
Fleur's fingers tightened. You're not allowed to be away for more than a day.
Aw, Gabby cooed.
Clingy birdie, Fleur.
Shoo, troublemaker.
Harry swatted her with Fleur's pillow. You're not helping.
Gabby giggled and bounced to her feet.
I will go think with the pensive. Au revoir.
She wavered away.
I am not birdie,
Fleur muttered.
You did destroy the clock, Harry said. Because Dream Gabby ate your cake.
And Dream you, she huffed. You owe me cake.
I can buy you something tasty later if you'd like.
He glanced at the floating silver cogs. I do have to go in and talk with Vera in a moment, but I can find some cake from that place in Paris again before I come back.
Oui. Fleur grabbed her wand.
Leave your wand.
Which one? I thought you were done looking at the older wand.
Your wand?
The ebony one.
She stuck two fingers in his sleeve and pulled it out.
This one.
Dark mist curled around Fleur's fingers, clutching at her pale skin as she drew her hand back.
It likes you, Harry said,
feeling the warmth rush up his arm from the wand.
It is you.
Fleur cupped it in her palms and watched the dark vapor pool in her hands.
I'm holding a piece of your soul, no? Of course it likes me. It is mine.
So possessive. Harry kissed her with a smile, slipping out of her grasp and standing up.
I'll be back with cake in a little bit.
Hopefully not too long. I don't think the time turner stuff there's trying is going to work, so I'd rather not waste too much time on that if I could spend it with my beautiful bird wife instead.
She hummed.
Pum. Don't be near Claire's when you bring cake.
No?
Fleur shook her head. I'm going to eat Gabby's eclairs for breakfast, so I'd prefer a different cake for later.
You do remember that it was Dream Gabby that ate all your cake, right?
Harry asked.
But it was real Gabrielle that came in here and caught you house.
A pout formed on her lips.
Donk, vengeance.
Vengeance tastes sweet, Harry laughed and slid Violette's ring onto his finger.
Okay.
Au bientôt, mon trésor.
Au bientôt.
Fleur clung to his arm, then let him slip through her fingers. He spun the world back past him and stepped into room 7.
There.
There appeared in the center of the room with a loud crack.
I am ready,
she gasped, dropping 2 clocks upon the bare desk.
You try,
she rasped, dropping 2 clocks upon the bare desk.
You try and make it as strong as possible.
Harry slid the elder wand from his sleeve, etching a ring of runes onto the desk in purple flame and sliding the nearest clock into them. He poured magic into the runes, forcing in every drop he could muster, and a faint shimmering bubble of magic swelled up over the clock.
Let's see how big a disparity we can create.
Fair held the 2nd clock up. The seconds crawled by. The bronze hands of the clocks drifted round the ones within the glimmering cocoon, dragging as if the hands were moving through water. Harry watched them turn full circle, then watched them turn full circle again.
13 seconds,
Fair said.
Not enough.
Not even close. He banished the magic with a flick of his wand. It would take hours of waiting to get to the point where it's useful, and a simple finite incantatum will probably break it. Fair placed her clock down.
It is frustrating to have managed so little.
A darkness spread through the veins on her throat, and she grabbed for her wand.
Very frustrating.
We'll find a way.
It'd probably be more likely to work if we took a more abstract approach.
He slid his wand away.
But I destroyed all the British time turners, so maybe it's better we don't succeed anyway.
A sharp knock echoed through the room.
Violet!
Grease called through the door.
Is this a good moment?
Harry glanced up. As good as any. Grease pulled the door open and swept in, tugging at his bushy white sideburns.
We have a problem.
Touts, I need to go to the Caribbean, Harry replied. I don't have my sun cream and my flip-flops.
Grease's pink eye swept over the pair of clocks.
Spain is not cooperating.
His jaw set and his expression hardened.
National politics have once again crept back into our way of reason and logic. Carlos de Mendoza?
Vare rasped.
The least of our troubles.
Vare released a long sigh.
Spain did not say it, but they clearly consider Britain the enemy of our enemy and have one eye on the conflict across the Atlantic. The official response I received from Madrid was a polite request not to overstep our mandate regardless of good intention. I tried to speak with de Mendoza to sort something out unofficially, but for all his polite conversation, he had absolutely no interest in helping.
Is he involved?
Vare asked.
He is Basque?
I don't know.
Vare steepled his fingers.
Le Canquillat was attempting to build a web of sails around the borders of France and its nearby allies. While he has had contacts with the last scions and likely other such small groups, I see no suggestion of anything more sinister.
What was he going to do? Harry asked. Watch and wait.
Stir up the sort of trouble he was trying in the weeks before Voldemort was defeated,
Grease replied.
Cause conflict between Belgium and the Netherlands, likely the Basques and the Spanish and ourselves, Britain and France, of course. And then there's the Black Forest.
To what end?
They folded her arms.
Trouble for the sake of trouble is not like him. There would have been...
I'm not sure, Grease said. He likely has allies and supporters across Europe. I fear if things continue to escalate with Britain and the U.S., it will give Le Canquillat a chance to draw together an alliance in the same way Grindelwald did.
Vare let out a low hiss.
He needs to be dealt with.
Harry shrugged. I could just go to Spain.
Then that caused the very escalation we're trying to avoid.
Chris's lips thinned and a deep frown creased his brow.
I have organized another meeting with de Mendoza in a week. If he budges, things will open up otherwise.
Harry stifled a flare of frustration and smothered a flash of the amber-masked figure.
The Canquillat will slip away.
Grease nodded.
It is better he slips away and we catch him a little later than we stir up this sort of trouble Le Canquillat needs to bring together those still enamored with Grindelwald's narrative.
1 week, Harry said. If de Mendoza hasn't agreed to anything in a week, then I'll just do it myself.
Grease held his gaze.
Just the ones we've located in France first. We may learn something from that will at least let us reduce the risk of acting in Spanish territory.
The longer we wait, the greater the risk.
Harry clamped down in a hot rush of frustration and fury.
I promised no more risks. I promised.
Violet!
Vare rasped.
The statute is more important than Le Canquillat.
She pressed her glowing wand's tip to her throat.
The more conflict, the greater the risk.
We must be patient,
Grease said.
Le Canquillat can cause us a lot of trouble. But if Spain throw their lot in with Britain and start a full war with the U.S., then the entire magical world is at risk.
Is that worse than the amber-masked figure?
The green-eyed girl hovered behind ancient glass, dancing through his thoughts.
I don't want our baby to be born into a war. The world's bad enough as it is.
I can be patient, Harry said. I'll head off. I owe my wife something tasty, and Vare and I need to rethink.
Yes.
Vare's head dropped.
I have not done very well.
Grease put a hand on his shoulder.
France has been trying for almost 1,000 years, old friend. We don't expect you to manage in just 20.
For the text of this and other stories, visit alltheblankcanvas.com, as well as patreon.com/theblankcanvas. Music by As I Walk Into the Abyss Blinded, Q QA assistance by Sakiko and Ohana. If you would like to commission me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at sangabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as links to my Patreon page, to which I hope you consider subscribing to support me, and my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.